Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Read together with me, won't you, the title of today's sermon, Why Pray? Based on both Luke 18 and verse 11, Jesus says in Luke 18, 1, the text says, Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. Turn in your worship folder to your handout and find there your sermon outline, if you would, and follow that sermon outline as we consider why pray. Prayer. Yes, prayer. So many things to pray about. The shape our world is in. Let me tell you, as an American citizen and also a Canadian citizen, but now here for 25 years, when I can take as much as a presidential debate as I can possibly stand, I have a lot to pray for my country of origin. Holy moly. So many things to pray for, the shape our world is in. Our personal needs, our family needs, the future of our youth, the ministry of our congregation. The list can go on and on. There are so many things to pray about, but many people, perhaps you, have a problem with prayer. Maybe you've even asked yourself the question, why pray? Maybe you just don't get to prayer because your life is way too busy, or maybe you're simply spiritually lazy. Maybe you've been frustrated by what seems to be unanswered prayer. Maybe you really wonder if prayer finally makes any difference. Why even pray? Well, our dear Lord Jesus addresses our questions about prayer by means of two separate parables in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11 and chapter 18. Prayer parable number one can be entitled The Friend at Midnight, Luke chapter 11. We'll save today's gospel reading for later in the sermon. From Luke 11, then Jesus said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine has come on a long journey to me, and I have nothing to set before him. The one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked. My children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. Then Jesus says, I tell you, though, he will not get up and give him the bread because he's his friend. Because of the man's persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. In order to fully understand this parable, we have to get a glimpse of a typical Palestinian home. It was a one-room home divided into two parts, an upstairs loft and a downstairs main level. The main level was used for the family's life during the day, and at night, the cattle and sheep were brought in to stay there for the evening. At the end of the house is an upstairs loft where the family eats and the family sleeps. To get to the loft, you have to climb up a ladder. And at night, as I said, the animals are brought into the main level and the door is shut and bolted with a heavy crossbeam. Soon after this, the entire family is at sleep on the loft. Mother and father and children, even grandparents if they live there. And the sheep and the cattle settle in down below, and all is dark and all is quiet. And I can imagine with the animals in there, that one-room house is a little smelly. Then at midnight comes a knock on the heavy oaken wooden door. And the man upstairs wakes up and says, who can it be at this time of night? It's midnight. Now, gentlemen, imagine getting out of bed, stepping quietly over your 3 children who are asleep, and your wife who has just spent 1.5 hours rocking that newborn baby to sleep. Then slowly climbing down that creaking ladder, that same ladder she has asked you to fix countless times, but you haven't gotten to it. trying to walk carefully around the animals, only to, oh, stub your little toe on the cold, hard hoof of a cattle. And then limping to the door as that knocking continues, and there's a man looking at you through the crack in the door, and you say, "Who is there? And for goodness sakes, what do you want this time of night?" The response outside the door is this: "Hi, buddy. A friend of mine is coming a long journey from out of town. I want to fix him a sandwich, a few sandwiches. I'd like some rye bread. Can you loan me 3 loaves of rye bread?" You stand there in silence, but you're steaming mad. Then you just say 2 words. "Get lost." But then you turn around, determined to go back to sleep, and there you are greeted with 3 wide-awake children saying, "Who was it? What time is it, Daddy? Can we get up? What's for breakfast?" And behind the children stands your wife, with now the crying infant in her arms, and your wife gives you that look. And you know what look I'm talking about. And now you know it's your turn to put the baby back to sleep. And the cattle are mooing. The rooster begins to crow. The whole household is disrupted. Mainly now the guy at the door keeps knocking. And finally, there's no choice but to open that door and give him what he asked for. We might laugh at this parable, and that's why Jesus told us it. It's a humorous parable. But then Jesus asks us, "Well, what would you have done?" Why, of course, we do the same thing. We give the guy the bread. Then suddenly Jesus draws us into a comparison maybe we didn't see coming. If a man would respond due to the pesky persistence of his neighbor, how much more would God, who neither slumber nor sleeps, answer the prayers and requests of his people whom he loves so dearly? We'll come back to that now, but today we're going to go to our parable in Luke chapter 18, today's gospel reading. Jesus has us laughing at another parable, verses 1 to 3. Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always pray and not lose heart. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, 'Give me justice against my adversary.'" In this parable, we meet a dignified judge who's having a hard time keeping his dignity. There's a certain widow in his town who is absolutely pesky in her persistent following him everywhere. He can't get away from this lady. We can imagine she's at his front door every morning he gets up in order to go to work. She confronts him at lunchtime in the marketplace. She disrupts his court. She interferes with his meeting with associates, and she's at his doorstep every night when he comes home from work, and her appeal is always the same. Verse 3, "Give me justice against my adversary." We can imagine this important judge's friends begin to tease him about his inability to get rid of this little widow. He has a reputation in public for being a tough guy that's mirrored in verse 4 when he says, "I neither respect God or fear any man." But he meets his match in this pesky little widow. She's a tough lady who knows her rights, and she won't give up until the judge helps her. Listen to what the judge says about her in verse 5. "Because this widow keeps bothering me, I'll give her justice, so she will not beat me down by her continual coming." Now, some translators claim "beat me down" really means wear me out. But a real literal translation of the Greek says, "lest she gives me a black eye." Some lady. A persistent, strong-willed, determined lady who knows her rights and she won't give up. this widow got the judge to answer her plea. And then Jesus' parable ends with a comparison and with a question, much like the question of the friend at midnight parable we early talked about. That is this. If this unrighteous judge will answer this widow's plea, how much more will God, the righteous judge, answer the prayers of his people? In these two parables and other places in Scripture, Jesus answers big questions we all have about prayer. And notice your sermon outline, point number 4, Roman numeral 4. Here are some big questions and issues we all have with prayer. We often find it hard to pray because we picture God as a reluctant neighbor or an unjust judge who just doesn't want to deal with us. We may say or feel things like this: God is just too busy for me. I'm not sure that God really cares about my life. Does Almighty God, who has a universe to run, really want to be bothered with my little daily needs? Well, here's good news for all of us today. Almighty God does care for us. And he reaches out to us in his Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Today, our Lord Jesus is here. His nail-pierced hands are resting on your shoulders. Can you feel them? Today, he's speaking to your heart. His loving eyes are meeting your eyes, and he's saying to you, I have died and risen for you. You are precious to me, my child. I'm not like a reluctant neighbor or an unjust judge. Come to me with your prayers. My hands are wide open for you. Now, we also mistakenly think that our prayers are not answered. We think like this when we don't get what we want or when we want it. But a search of Holy Scripture on the topic of prayer always reveals this truth. The prayers of God's children are always answered. But God can answer our prayers in one of three ways. He can say yes, he can say no, and he can say, not yet. Our problem is, when we get any other answer than yes, we think God does not answer our prayer. Because he loves us, and because he knows what's best for us, like a loving parent to a request from a child, he can say yes, or he can say no, or even not yet. St. Paul, the greatest apostle of our Lord Jesus, learned this truth when he was dealing with what he calls in Holy Scripture a thorn in my flesh. Listen to his words from 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul says, there was given to me a thorn in my flesh, and three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. Paul says, therefore, I will boast the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. For when I'm weak, then I'm really strong. To make a long story short, God said to Paul's request, take away the thorn. No. But he gave Paul something greater. He gave Paul his grace and his strength. And this is what Paul really needed to make him the mighty apostle of God that God wanted him to be. Paul's might came from bearing with the thorn in the flesh and depending upon God's strength and not upon his own. This is true also for us. And remember again that God will answer your prayers. How? He can say, yes, he can say, and he can say, what might seem to be an unanswered prayer, listen carefully now, What might seem to be an unanswered prayer is really God answering for you in a way much better than you can imagine, in a way you cannot yet see, but in a way that will be clear to you in the future. We're also mistaken about prayer if we reason, well, if God already knows before I ask, why do I even pray? Why? Because in prayer, God wants to give each of us more than just an answer. He wants to do more than just fill our shopping list of requests. He wants to give us the best gift of all. And that gift is the gift of Himself. In prayer, God draws near to us. He gives Himself anew to us that we can know His presence and know His strength. God delights in giving to us, His children, the gift of Himself. It's a story of the whole Bible. In Genesis chapter 3, we find Adam and Eve hiding from God due to their shame and their sin. But God comes to them to give them the gift of Himself when He says to them, "Where are you?" In the Luke 15 parable, a runaway son, we call him the prodigal son, he is really messed up. But his father, who is a symbol of our heavenly Father, sees him in a distance, runs to him, throws his arms around his neck and kisses him, and gives the boy what he needs more than anything else, the gift of Himself, the gift of a father's love. Well, besides all of this, here's something maybe you weren't aware of. Holy Scripture tells us, when we just don't know how to pray, when we just can't find the words, God the Holy Spirit and God the Son are interceding and praying for us. Listen to Romans 8:26. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And in Romans 8:34, Christ Jesus, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God, and He also is interceding for us. Well, my friends, enough talk about prayer today. Would you please bow your heads with me and pray? Dear loving Heavenly Father, we come to You in the only way we can, in the name of Jesus, Your Son, our Savior. We thank You that You do hear all our prayers, and that You are not a reluctant neighbor or an unjust judge who doesn't want to be bothered with us. We thank You that because of Jesus, we can come to Your open arms with all our needs as well as our thanks. Help us to receive, dear Lord, that which You want to give us more than anything else, the gift of Yourself. Thank You that You delight in seeking us out, even when we run from You, like You did for Adam and Eve and for the prodigal son. And we also thank You that when we just don't know how to pray or what to pray for, both God the Holy Spirit and God the Son are praying for us. Dear Lord, into Your hands we entrust every person here this morning, in each person and family of Trinity Lutheran Church. They are so very dear to You. Dear Lord, love and encourage them with Your sure and strong presence. Assure them of Your forgiveness for every sin. Meet their every need. And dear Lord, make each of us a man of prayer, a woman of prayer, a boy of prayer, a girl of prayer. And help us to make a regular appointment to meet You in prayer. And finally, Lord, through prayer, we call upon You to do things in our lives we could have never imagined. In the strong name of Jesus,